Chapter 36. Anakin could feel nothing through the battle meld except doubt and resentment. So he was as surprised as anyone when the crack-crackle of a thermal detonator reverberated through the street behind him. Raising his lightsaber to high guard and thumbing the activation switch, he pivoted around to discover a ball of blue-white light contracting between Raynar and Errol, obliterating everything in a 5-meter radius and opening a deep crater in the street. Subsurface service ducts began to spew water and sewer gas, filling the hole with steam and flame. Over the course of several dozen attempts to reach the cloning facility, the Jedi had crossed replications of nearly every environment where Voxen might be sent to hunt them. Replications of agri-tracts, robo-factories, swamp farms, even an automated cloud mine. Now they were pushing through the slave city itself. With tiers of windows and balconies built directly into the walls, the metropolis reminded Anakin of the pictures his mother had shown him of Crevasse City on lost Alderaan. In addition to a dozen different species of slave residents, the artificial city contained turbolifts, slidewalks, even droid-operated hover cars. Anakin stepped past Tahiri and Tekli and peered over Raynar's shoulder into the flaming crater. Nothing remained of whatever had prompted the attack. "Voxen?" he asked. Since their retreat from the walker, the Voxen attacks had been coming with increasing frequency. Raynar shrugged. "I didn't see." "It came out of the street hatch," Errol explained from the other side. Her green eyes flickered briefly in Raynar's direction. Then she added, "There was no time to do anything but toss a detonator down its throat. Sorry for the waste." Anakin thumbed his lightsaber off. "I don't know that I'd call it a waste." The team was down to a dozen thermal detonators, now 11, and perhaps twice that many grenades. But at least they had not lost anyone since Yulaha. "Raynar is probably worth the price of a detonator."
"Probably,"
Raynar objected. "If there's any question, the House of Thul will gladly reimburse the Jedi for all detonators used on my behalf."
"You're sure?"
Errol asked doubtfully. She circled around the burning crater, then pinched Raynar on the cheek and laughed. Behind her came Zek and Jaina, like Anakin and Lomi, now completely recovered from their encounter with the Flitnats. Even Lobaka and Jovan had nothing worse to show than a bad rash, thanks to Tekli's quick realization that the insects had been engineered to promote a debilitating allergic reaction. Anakin's earplugs sealed themselves against the disorienting blast of a Voxen screech attack. Such attacks came so regularly now that they were no longer startling. Anakin simply pushed his breath mask into place and started forward to where a mob of slaves was staggering away from a convergence of blaster fire. A lightsaber flashed, sending the tip of a severed Voxen tail tumbling over the crowd. Then the creature itself rose into view as Tenel Ka used the Force to lift it out of a street hatch. Ganner and the Barabels set on it instantly, hacking it apart with their molten blades before Anakin could reach them. Killing Voxen was becoming almost routine. The strike team rarely traveled more than a few kilometers without being attacked by at least one of the things. Anakin reached out with the Force to search for more. There seemed to be no others lurking beneath the street, but he did perceive someone in anguish lying inside the growing cloud of toxins released by the creature's noxious blood. Slipping past the fighting, he found a mucus-coated slave curled into a fetal ball, so badly acid-burned that only his raw nerve cones identified him as a Gotal. Anakin called Tekli forward. She should have felt the need on her own, but the battle meld was so full of discord that it served as little more than confirmation that everyone was still alive and conscious. As the Chadrafan knelt beside the dying Gotal, Lomi and Welk came up, now wearing the breath masks Lobaka had risked so much to retrieve. They watched Tekli's ministrations, not with the disdain or detachment Anakin had expected, but with visible outrage. He knew better than to think they were empathizing with the slave's suffering. They were simply using the anger it engendered to feed their dark side power. I don't like coming through here. Anakin eyed the growing number of slave residents, stumbling away from the toxic fumes. We're endangering them with our presence.
They are already in danger, Lomi said, and you are the one who wishes to try the Voxen Warren. This is the only way to reach it.
You know you're going to get us killed? Welk asked. Even you, Jean Vong, don't go down there. Which is why we must, Anakin said. Whether Numanor intended to or not, he was wearing the strike team down, steadily depleting its munitions and draining its vigor. We need to break through soon, or we never will.
If this doesn't work, we may have to accept never, Lumi said.
There comes a time when we must think of our own lives.
Yeah, like after we've vaped the queen.
Tahiri stepped to Anakin's side.
There is no try, only do.
Lomi flashed Tahiri a condescending smirk.
Very impressive, child. You have memorized Skywalker's maxims.
She looked back to Anakin.
Seriously, if this does not work, you must signal your extraction team. I won't throw away my life.
There's more at risk here than your life, or ours, Anakin said. Lomi rolled her eyes.
I know. The Jedi themselves.
The Jedi are the galaxy's best hope of survival, Anakin replied. Otherwise the Yuuzhan Vong wouldn't be working so hard to destroy us. Lomi ran her eyes down Anakin's figure, her expression almost seductive.
You are so very earnest, Anakin. It is really quite adorable.
Her smile turned icy.
But I did not see Skywalker sending his Jedi Knights to save the Night Sisters when the Yuuzhan Vong captured Dathomir. I will show you to the Voxen Cave. But if we cannot fight through, you must call your extraction team.
Anakin hesitated a moment, wondering how earnest she would think him after he lied to her. And then he realized there was no need. He returned her smile with one just as icy.
Extraction team? He asked. What extraction team would that be?
Lumi's eyes narrowed, and she reached out to test Anakin with the Force.
Do you think you can...
When she encountered no resistance, her jaw fell, and she let the probe drop.
You are on a suicide mission? It's no suicide mission, Tahiri said. We've walked rockier trails than this, lots of times.
Lomi ignored her and continued to stare at Anakin. The War Master anticipated our plans, he explained. We lost our ship coming in.
And your backup plan? Lomi asked. Surely you have a backup plan?
Anakin nodded. Kill the Queen and destroy the lab, then hope we can steal a ship in the confusion.
I see.
The anger in Lumi's eyes grew more intent.
There is no try. Only do,
Welk finished, his voice mocking. If that doesn't blast my bones. The acid-burned Gotal finally died, and the strike team started up the street again. As soon as they left the toxin cloud, the mob closed in, begging the Jedi to free them, thrusting children out for rescue, volunteering to fight. There were thousands of slaves, Ranats, Osan, Tagorians, even some species Anakin could not name, all cognizant of their fate, all desperate to escape their coming doom, the very people who needed the Jedi, the weak, the downtrodden, the defenseless. Anakin's heart grew heavier each time he was forced to say he could not help, that his mission here was too vital, that he had no way to get them off the world ship. Soon, it grew too painful to explain that much. He simply apologized in a quiet and calm voice, using Jedi persuasion techniques to comfort those in despair and to redirect the wrath of those who were angry. Lomi started down a cramped alley canyon that would not have felt out of place in Coruscant's underlevels. Barely 3 meters wide, the lane descended at a steep angle beneath a network of balconies and catwalks, then vanished into the dank-smelling murk ahead. The windows and doors that pocked the walls to both sides were sealed behind curtains of living membrane. An odd double pathway worn into the dusty ground was spaced about right for the wide-set legs of a voxen. Noting that the slave residents showed no desire to follow them into the alley, Anakin stopped 3 steps in. "Stay sharp, everyone. We need to make this work." He turned to his brother. "If you can do something to keep the voxen quiet, now is the time." Jason paled. "I'll do my best, Anakin." He started forward. "But these aren't normal animals. I can't just reach—" Anakin did not hear the rest, for the general haze of Yuuzhan Vong present suddenly grew strong and almost distinct. He turned to scan the crowd and found a group of humans shoving toward Jason. All 5 were large men with swarthy faces and blank expressions, men so similar they could have been clones. 4 reached for their belts. The 5th tossed a thumb-sized capsule at Jason's feet, and a thin coat of greenish gel spread across the street. "Blorass jelly." Anakin burned a blaster hole through the jelly thrower's throat, then used the force to pluck his brother off the ground. "Watch the crowd." A 12 lightsabers came to life and formed a dancing cage of light around the rear half of the strike team. Anakin put Jason down in the alley mouth. Someone took a heavy blow, and a tide of darkness swirled through the battle meld as they struggled to stay conscious. "Jaina!" Jason yelled. The mob roared and scattered, trampling each other in their panic. The imposters flung more Blorash jelly, capturing slaves and Jedi alike, turning the street into a tangle of confusion. Lubaka roared, his bronze lightsaber flashing down, cleaving something Anakin could not see. Tenel Ka yelled for support. Alima cursed in Rill, her silver blade burning through a soft body. Errol cried out as green gel spread over her foot. She hacked the stuff apart, and the second piece bound her other foot to the ground. She reached into her equipment pouch for a more potent defense. A razor bug flew out of the crowd, caught her below the nose, and slashed her face in 2. Her eyes rolled back, and the lightsaber slipped from her hand, and she fell and began to convulse. Shock burned through the battle meld like an ion blast. Doubt and resentment gave way to anger, blame, guilt. None of it helpful. The emotions only added to the chaos, blurring Anakin's awareness. He felt just one thing clearly: the black gauze threatening to engulf his sister. Anakin stepped out of the alley and heard an amphistaff hiss. He caught the snakish head on his lightsaber, then spun around, driving a back kick into his attacker's midsection, and bringing his molten blade around in a neck-high sweep. The imposter collapsed, head tumbling from his shoulders. Tahiri somersaulted under Anakin's lightsaber and sprang to her feet behind her blade, driving the tip up through the torso of a Duros male. Seeing no amphistaff, Anakin thought she had made a terrible mistake, then sensed Yuuzhan Vong pain and saw a Gableth masker peeling off the Duros face. Anakin jerked her behind him. "Careful. You're one to talk," she snapped. Tahiri pulled a handful of arsen salts from her equipment pouch and sprinkled them on a Blorash jelly sliding toward their feet. The stuff drew back, then began to divide itself into oblivion. Anakin circled past and first sensed, then saw, more imposters, 3 human and 2 Duros, shouldering their way out of the crowd. He pushed Tahiri at Ganner and the Barabels, and ordered them to secure the alley entrance, then sprang into the air and called on the force to carry himself over the charging Yuuzhan Vong. As he somersaulted past their heads, he dragged his lightsaber across one imposter's skull and split it down the center. He landed behind the group and thrust-kicked another onto Tisar's waiting blade. The Barabel ducked a whistling amphistaff, then trapped the arm that had swung it and pulled the elbow into his sharp-toothed mouth. With the odds in the alley now firmly in the strike team's favor, Anakin turned to find Raynar pulling Errol's limp body into his arms, his face streaked with tears and seemingly unaware of the Blorash jelly binding his knee to the ground. Anakin sprinkled some salts on the blob. Raynar looked up, eyes wide.
I can't feel her, Anakin. She's not in the Force.
Anakin shared his shock. Before, Nomanor had seemed intent on recapturing the strike team alive. So why were Yuuzhan Vong hurling razor bugs now? Because suddenly the strike team had a good chance of reaching the cloning labs. That was why. He pulled Errol into Raynar's arms, then pushed them both toward the alley. I'll send Tekly. Anakin rushed forward into a mad riot of shrieking slaves. Some lay dead, and many were bleeding. But the battle had already drifted out into the street, and most were screaming only because they were trapped. He hurled a few sprinkles of arson salts as he passed, then met Tenel Ka, coming in the opposite direction, levitating Jovan Drark. Tekly was kneeling astride the Rodian, her hands buried to the wrists inside his open chest. Anakin touched him through the Force and immediately felt sick and hollow inside. Jovan had only the faintest glimmer of life, and even that was fading.
"Jaina's in trouble," Tenel Ka said. "They're trying to—"
Anakin was already racing forward, leaping the bodies of groaning slaves and fallen Yuuzhan Vong, flinging arson salts at the few remaining patches of Blorash jelly. He should have anticipated this, should have realized Nomanor would use the slave city to ambush them. Now Errol was dead, Jovan dying, Jaina about to be taken, and the strike team had yet to reach the cloning labs. He found Jaina pinned against a building, a blob of Blorash jelly binding her along one side, blood pouring from a head wound. Despite it all, she was holding two Yuuzhan Vong impostors at bay with a one-handed lightsaber defense. Lobaka and Zek were fighting toward her through a half-dozen still-masked warriors. Aleem Arar crouched behind a crashed hovercar, using Jovan Drark's longblaster to delay a company of reinforcements. Anakin gathered the Force to him and charged, somersaulting into the air, as he had a few moments before. Zek's opponents broke off, stepping back to hurl their amphistaffs like spears. Anakin batted one aside, then felt a hot pain in his abdomen when the second pierced his jumpsuit's armored lining. As he finished his tumble, the shaft swung away, the head pivoting inside his abdomen. He heard himself scream, then he was coming down, landing on his feet and hammering the butt into the ground. Cold anguish filled his belly. His knees tried to buckle, but he would not let them. Could not let them.
Anakin.
Guided by her screaming voice, Anakin flung a handful of arson salts in Jaina's direction, used the Force to carry them to the jelly. Then he grabbed the amphistaff and jerked it from his body. The agony was crushing. Anakin shunted it aside, used his Jedi training to prevent his suffering from crippling him. He was injured, but not mortally so. One of Jaina's attackers spun to attack, changing his amphistaff to whip form in mid-swing. Anakin batted the fanged head aside, leapt forward, feigned a slash. The impostor tried to step inside, had to try. Anakin slipped a foot behind his foe's heel and swept the leg. The Yuuzhan Vong went down, rolled, then opened his own throat on Anakin's downturned lightsaber. Now free of her Blorash jelly, Jaina was driving her foe back with a wild web of lightsaber slashes. Calling on the Force for strength, Anakin stepped over and slashed his blade across the Yuuzhan Vong's knees. Jaina opened the warrior's chest plate before he hit the ground, then turned and grabbed Anakin by the elbow.
"By the Sith, Anakin, why'd you do something like that?"
"Like what?" he asked. Jaina glared. They both knew his rescue had been rash. "We lost two, and I wasn't going to—" The words caught in Anakin's throat, and he had to try again. "You were in trouble,
and now you are."
Jaina tried to wipe the blood from her eyes and failed, then started toward the alley.
"Anakin, this was really— Are you ever going to learn?"
As they turned, Anakin found himself looking at a wall of Jedi, with Lobaka and Zek flanked by Jason, Ganner, and everyone else he had ordered to stay in the alley. The last of the Yuuzhan Vong impostors lay on the ground behind them, their maskers and Vondoon crab armor hacked into smoking pieces. Zek went instantly to Jaina's side. Tahiri beat Lobaka and Jason to Anakin's. She tried to pull his hand away from the wound, but he wouldn't allow it. He lifted his chin toward Alima, who was still crouched behind the hover car, burning holes in Yuuzhan Vong's chests. "Call her off," he said. "Let's go before someone else gets killed." Paying no attention, Tahiri continued to tug at his arm.
"Anakin, how bad is it? Let me—"
"Tahiri, stop." Anakin pushed her arm down. "It's just a little cut."